You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Life of a Recounting Droid, or welcome back to the episode. This is episode number 14. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you a slightly early episode of the show. Basically this weekend I'm going on a trip, so it messes up the release schedule. I'm going to have a pretty packed day tomorrow, just for how work goes. You guys know how quarter end and the start of a quarter, end of month, and all of that fun stuff goes. So especially on the accounting side, it's busy, and then sales and all of that, everyone's just busy, so it's kind of hectic. So planning a little bit more around that. So with all of that out of the way, I'll jump into this week's episode. It's pretty full. I'll generally keep to the layout. It's mostly Google related this week. There's a few bits of other news to go through. So after all of the Google news, I'll still have, or all the Google Android news, I'll still have all the other tech news. After the break, it'll be the entertainment section. A little bit of a change there. No app review or feature review or anything like that for this week, but I've accounted for that as well, so stay tuned for that. So with that, I will jump into this week's episode. To start it off, the theme is double entry bookkeeping. So as we'll get through the Google news for the week, it's a lot of twos, so mainly on the device side, so a second generation, two devices, that sort of thing. Even the LG announcement had a similar thing, so that. And then it also, or I planned the entertainment section that way a little bit as well. So all in all, a pretty spot on theme for this week as well. So a bit of explanation though for the theme is that every accounting transaction has to have at least two opposite entries in at least two different accounts. So basically, the standard formula of assets equal liabilities and shareholders equity has to be maintained. So depending on how the transactions are entered, everything has to stay in balance and it never goes out of balance. So even if you're on just the asset side or just the liabilities or just stockholder equity, everything still has to balance. If you're doing stuff on both sides of the formula, then same thing, an increase on one side has to be a decrease on the other. So basically, in short, the sum of all the debits must equal the sum of all the credits. So basically, it's a way of getting an automatic checks and balances as far as making sure all transactions are being entered properly. So if on one side you type in $10 and the other side you enter $9, you know that something was not entered correctly and you can go back and fix it properly. And same thing on the same side, but it does not necessarily account for mistakes on entry, so the wrong GL, wrong accounts, things like that. But that is why auditing also, it needs to be in place to make sure everything is well maintained after the fact as well. So that's really the basic explanation and the bulk of where double entry bookkeeping comes into play. It's base level checks and balances to make sure your formula is in balance and at least the numerical value is being entered properly. So with that, I'll jump in right into the Android news. There is a lot to go through, so I'll start it off I'll get right through it. So to start it off, Google is going to be adding free public Wi-Fi to the to various Indian train stations starting in Q4 of 2016. So next year they'll be adding around 100 stations, and then they'll add another 300 the year after that. This was announced when President Modi of India spoke at Google. So basically the back end, it will be provided by Google. I think they'll be providing the internet access as well, but it's a way to provide public free Wi-Fi to the general population and the public of India. Google Play got an update, so developers can now upload APK file sizes up to 100 megabytes, so it should help out as far as post-installation download. So if you have games that need to download additional content, then more of it can be included in the initial download. And if it's a fairly small file, then you could add as much of it into it as you can. That's really the bulk of that news. So I'll jump into go through the Google announcement this week, which was on September 29th. A lot of cool things happened. the basic announcement was is that Android 6 Marshmallow is going to start rolling out next week to Nexus devices, so look out for that update. I don't think I heard which day specifically it'll roll out, but it'll all be... or it'll start rolling out next week, so look out for that. Google Photos got a couple of updates. One is that you can now get a shareable link, which will auto-notify other users when new media is added to the folder. So let's say you take pictures for a wedding and you share the link and you continuously add pictures, people can get a notification every time more content is added, so you don't have to remind them every time. They'll get it on their end that there's new pictures or videos or whatever in that folder. This year, Google did something new by announcing not just one, but two Nexus devices with two different developers. The first is a Nexus 5X, which was made by LG. It has a 5.2-inch screen, a 12.3-megapixel camera, a fingerprint sensor, and will run Android 6.0 Marshmallow. So this is the just standard upgrade to the Nexus 5. So if you want a general comparison, but let's say you want more in your Nexus device, that's where the Nexus 6P comes in. It's going to be made by Huawei. It comes with a 5.7-inch screen, has a 64-bit octa-core processor, 3 gigs of RAM, has an option of 32, 64, or 128 gigs of storage. It has a 12.3-megapixel rear camera, IR laser autofocus, 4K video recording, an 8-megapixel front camera, fingerprint sensor, micro USB Type-C charger, so the new one that was announced at Google I.O., dual front speakers, a 3450 mAh battery, and will run Android 6 Marshmallow. So this is the over-the-top, fantastic, high-end device. The other one is still pretty much up there, but it's still on par as far as general progression. But if you want a lot more, then the 6P is available as well. Both devices also will be available on Google Fi, so if you're thinking about switching to it, then you can get these phones. I did see that. I think they were available as part of the installment payment program as well, in case you're interested in going that route. A new Google Chromecast was also released this week. It's the Chromecast 2015, and now has an integrated HDMI cable, has a new round form factor rather than the stick format, and is now available on black, green, and red, so if you want different colors, then that is also an option. It supports a 2.4 and 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi spectrum, so you can use any of that, and it auto-switches between the two, so you get the best possible signal. Media will now also load a lot faster by loading in the background. So if you're starting to do a search or there's certain media that you want to watch, it'll load in the background to help start watching that media faster and also load a little bit smoothly over time as you watch it. You also have improved game streaming from your device. So basically the frame rate should look better, it should run a lot smoother and all of that as you cast to your TV. Your device can now also better act as a controller, so your control stay on your device, and you can stream to your TV. And then if you have friends who come over and they have a compatible device, then their controllers can also act as a controller, so you can now more easily play multiplayer games, and I don't think they need to have the game installed as long as the primary user has the game. They're also updating the image feeds for your Chromecast to now also include Google Photos, Facebook, and Flickr, so you have a lot more options there. And finally, it'll also support Spotify, so if you use that Spotify for your music, then you can have them as a streaming music option. Another device that was announced this year is the Chromecast Audio. So let's say you have a set of speakers and they're just your traditional speakers, nothing smart or special about them. By using the Chromecast Audio device, you can turn them into wireless speakers, so you don't need anything special. It costs, I think, $35 still, but plugging this into your speakers will make them wireless, and you can stream directly to them directly from your smartphone or tablet. That's really all there is for that. It's pretty simple and straightforward, so it's pretty cool if you have the traditional speakers, if you want a specific brand of speakers and then want to make them wireless. This week they also announced the Pixel C Chromebook, which is a basically a laptop which runs Android. I think it is Android 6. It is convertible, so it not only works with a traditional laptop, but you can flip off the screen and connect it to the base, and it will become a tablet. It is held together with self-aligning magnets, so you don't have to worry about keeping it in place. The magnets will do all that work. It does have Bluetooth, or it works with a Bluetooth keyboard, so that's kind of how you get your laptop half of it. It has a 10.2-inch screen, inductive self-charging battery, so it stays as charged as possible. It runs on an NVIDIA quad, or has an NVIDIA quad-core processor, 4 microphones, and will get software updates every 6 weeks. So definitely worth checking out if you're in for a new laptop or want an Android-based tablet. This week, or they also announced that Google Play Music family, or they also announced a Google Play Music family plan. So basically, for $14.99 a month, you can have up to 6 users get the Google Play streaming service, and it's tailored by accounts. You can add, when you add the different accounts, they can log in with their own Google account and get their own personalized music. Inside the Android device, or the new Nexus devices this week, but as part of a new sensor chip, the Google Android Sensor Hub was announced. It's a low-power secondary sensor that monitors device movement, so basically it helps to reduce power consumption, displays notifications in a lower power state with black on white text when you pick up your device, and basically helps to generally just improve your device's performance and all of that when it's not in use. So this is, I think, part of the, or related to the Android 6 Marshmallow thing, where you can have a deep sleep on your device to help extend its battery life. Google announced also later that, or I think separate from the announcement, that they're teaming up with Jibe Mobile, that's G-I-B-E, to work on implementing the new RCS standard. That's a rich communication standard with carrier SMS. So basically this would add high-res images, group chats, and many other features and functionality. In a random bit of news this week, Google announced that they also have added support for HTTPS connections to Blogspot. So if you have your blog on Blogger, then you can now have an HTTPS connection. It's not yet compatible with custom domains yet, so consider that before you make the switch. But if you have just your regular Blogspot website, then that is now, or that can now be set to be more secure. HTC announced a new high-end smartphone this week called the Butterfly 3. It runs Android 5. It has a 5.2-inch screen, a 2700 mAh battery, 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage, a 20-megapixel rear camera, and a 13-megapixel front camera. So overall, pretty high-end. Granted, it's not Android, not Android 6 not yet, but at least it runs Android 5. The battery size is okay, I guess, but overall the specs are pretty good. And finally, LG had an announcement this week where they announced 2 new devices. The first is the LG V10. It's a 5.7-inch smartphone device, and that is actually the screen size of the primary screen. But this device comes with a secondary screen at 2.1 inches for extra information. It has 4 gigs of RAM, 65 gigs of storage, and supports up to 2 terabytes of external storage via microSD. Has a 5-megapixel front camera, 16-megapixel rear camera, 3,000 mAh battery, and runs Android 5.1.1. So look out for that. It is actually a pretty good device and worth checking out. They also announced the LG Watch Urbane LG Watch Urbane second generation. It comes now with a 1.38-inch display with 480 by 480 resolution. It comes with LTE, has a nano SIM slot, 4 gigs of storage, 768 megabytes of RAM, Wi-Fi, GPS, and a 570 mAh battery. So if you want, or I believe it does run Android Wear, so if you want this Android watch, it is the latest and greatest available. So that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump into the other tech news for this week. So to start it off, Netflix announced this week that they're adding support for the Samsung Gear VR. So if you want to get a more theater-like 3D experience, then that is now, or that will be an option. PayPal Hero was announced as a new mobile card reader that supports traditional credit cards, Android Pay, Apple Pay, and Samsung Pay. So if you want an all-in-one solution, this may be the way to go. As part of the 30th anniversary of Back to the Future, there is a couple of, one news I'll make or note after the break, but Telltale Games is going to be releasing the Back to the Future, the game 30th Anniversary Edition on October 13th for Xbox 360 and Xbox One. So look out for that. The other news is actually more entertainment related, so listen for that. But Amazon has also made a deal with UMG to bring select albums to Amazon Prime Music. So if you have Amazon Prime or wanted certain albums that are available from UMG, check them out. They are now available on Amazon Music. So I've already actually gotten a few of the albums, and I'm glad that they have made this deal so it's more music from Amazon. Microsoft is now offering a free Windows 10 programming course via Channel 9, so look out for that in case you want to get into Windows 10 programming. Skype Desktop for Windows 7, 8, and 10 are getting an update to now integrate Skype Translate, so you can now do, or should be able to do, real-time translations coming soon. And finally, Amazon is going to stop selling Apple TVs and Chromecast as of October 29th to avoid customer confusion for which products support Amazon Prime Instant Video. So basically, they only want to support devices that do have it on there. So in case you're going around wondering if it is supported or not, then that is what they hope to achieve. So look out. So in case you're wondering after October 29th, what happened to the Chromecast and Apple, the newer Apple TVs after that, then that is the reason. But that is actually all for this particular segment, so after the short break, I'll jump into this week's entertainment news. Life of an Accounting Droid is brought to you by you, because you can now help and support the show in three awesome and excellent ways. The first is by simply visiting patreon.com/patelN01 and check out some of the great milestone goals and rewards you get by simply donating as much as you're able, be it $1, $5, $20, whatever you feel comfortable with, to help the show expand in ways like adding more posts to the feed, an Android app, and removing ads, that sort of thing. So definitely check it out. That's patreon.com/patelN01. You can also get some great deals and discounts by visiting geek-io.net/support. You can get discounts on Tweaked Audio headphones, so you get some great audio while you listen to podcasts, movies, music, whatever have you. Or even by getting a discount on great security software provided by ProXPN. So definitely check that out. It's definitely worth your while, especially if you're on the geeky, nerdy side of things. Especially if you want to show that fandom and geekiness by wearing a t-shirt provided by T-Fury. So that's geek-io.net/support. Now, finally, let's say you love this show, you want to hear more and listen to more shows like it, you can visit patreon.com/geekio or visit geek-io.net and check out more shows like this and help support the network, help it expand and grow, help us host, do more and provide you with more and continued great content. That's patreon.com/geekio. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show. And welcome back to the episode, everybody. Slightly different format for this segment as well, because I'm releasing the episode a little bit early, and also because I didn't have a chance to review anything this week. I don't have a app feature or service review or anything like that. But in the vein of double entry bookkeeping and doubles, I figured I would do a double TV show review, or double show review. And in this case, two TV shows. One I mentioned last week, Heroes Reborn, so I'll be doing that one, and then followed by Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then rounded out with Star Wars Profile. So that's really about it for that. Nothing too else, but before I get into that, I will start off with the entertainment news. So to start it off, for those of you who are fans of Star Wars Rebels, a TV show, it is going to be getting its own magazine, which will debut on October 20th, so look out for that. It'll basically be all things Star Wars Rebels, character insights, and things like that, I imagine, so October 20th to release for that. For the month of October 2015 is a special promotion for Back to the Future. The Back to the Future trilogy will be streaming on Amazon Instant Video. So if you have Amazon Prime, you'll be able to watch all three movies for free as a Prime member. So definitely look out for that. It should be available for everybody October 1st. So that's really about it. It's a pretty cool promotion going on there. Otherwise, for what I watched, nothing too out of the ordinary otherwise compared to last week. I did continue watching Fear the Walking Dead. In this case, Season 1, Episode 5, Cobalt. And it is actually my favorite episode so far of the season. It actually covers a number of things. So, actually, I thought it was a big improvement over the first four episodes. This one was actually a lot more intriguing and interesting. A little bit less... It was probably just as slow, but it seemed a little bit more upbeat, a little bit more of character interactions, development, story progressions, and things like that. So, definitely worth a shot so far. It is my favorite. I can't believe there's only one episode left, but definitely worth a watch. The series as a whole, and definitely this season, or this episode, sorry. I also continued with Gotham, so Season 2, Episode 2, Knock Knock, which was also another decent episode. I like the premiere a little bit more, but we did have a little bit more interaction as far as the Bruce Wayne Alfred storyline. I won't spoil too much aside from the fact that it did have a strange resemblance to the Dark Knight trilogy as far as one particular scene there, but I liked how they brought it back together in the end, and then they introduced I forget if it was in Season 1, but they did introduce one of my favorite characters in the series, so definitely worth a watch there. I continued watching Minority Report as well, so Season 1, Episode 2, Mr. Nice Guy. I'm kind of on the fence as far as this, as far as Minority Report goes. It's actually being done pretty well, but it's basically going to be another cop drama, so I'm not sure if I want to continue or if I'm going to watch it or maybe just watch it, binge watch it later, which is probably what I'm expecting to do. But I haven't decided on that yet. We'll see how it goes next week, but they're doing a pretty good job with it. I actually kind of like it, but it's kind of becoming that villain or bad guy of the week, and then some of the primary character story development. So I'm kind of hit or miss on it right now, so we'll kind of see how it goes there. And then I also watched Season 1, Episode 8 of Firefly, Out of Gas. So I'm continuing to watch that. I should be done with the season, I'm expecting, by next week. Maybe the week after that, but we'll see. Depends on how many other things I watch. I'll probably start off with the Back to the Future trilogy. Maybe continue Minority Report, but if I don't, then I will continue with Firefly. So that's what's going on there. But that's really all there is for that. So with that, I'll start off with the first TV show review, which is Heroes Reborn. I watched season... it's actually season 1, episode 1 and 2. Both episodes released as a 2-hour season premiere on September 24th, 2015, with an approximate runtime of about 75 minutes. The original air time was 2 hours, but if you take out commercials and things like that. Basically, the summary of the mini series is that a year ago, a terrorist attack in Odessa, Texas, left the city decimated. Blamed for the tragic event, those with extraordinary abilities are in hiding or are on the run from those with nefarious motives. So if memory serves, I think it takes place around the time between season 1 and 2 of the original Heroes season, but I'm not entirely sure about that. I forget exactly if it's that or if it takes place a number of years later, but basically at the moment we're following the story of Noah Bennett, so they're using a familiar character to start off or to continue this miniseries, so we'll see how it goes. But a brief summary of episode 1, Brave New World, is that a new world order has them being hunted by those with nefarious motives, such as Luke and Joanne Collins, who are out to avenge a tragic loss of their son. Meanwhile, Noah Bennett has to take measures to put his old life behind him and start over until he comes face to face with Quentin Frady, a conspiracy theorist out to uncover the truth behind the Odessa tragedy. So basically, at this point, there is a terrorist attack, in at a festival meant to bring humans and superhumans together. Noah Bennett is at the event, but basically after the attack, he has no memory of this attack. He doesn't know what happened to his daughter, Claire Bennett. So we're wondering. So that's kind of where he's at. He's kind of putting the pieces together, but has no real interest in it. The conspiracy theorist kind of helps him get started on that track to find out what's going on. And then we also get the stories of a few other superhuman individuals. So a kid who can make people vanish, and a couple who is out to hunt superhuman individuals. With episode 2, Odessa, the summary is that elsewhere, some are discovering their newfound skills, for better or for worse. Some are fated to cross paths with assorted heroes of the past, and together, their ultimate destiny is nothing less than saving the world and mankind. So, with episode 2, we kind of get more of a backstory as far as extra is going on, because Noah Bennett has figured out that, or has found out with a conspiracy theorist, that something happened at the attack at the festival where he can't remember and someone doesn't want him to remember. He does visit the Haitian. I forget exactly what his power was, but turns out that he is also told to, I guess, either get rid of him or attack him, or basically make sure he doesn't keep asking too many questions. So basically that's where we're at with this. It's kind of a mix of, we are being introduced to a bunch of new characters as far as with superpowers and people who are fighting the superpowered individuals. There's a general mistrust between superpowered individuals and the regular human population. So, we're not sure exactly what's going on, but overall it's a good start. So with that, I'll jump into the review itself. So, as I mentioned, I kind of like where they're starting off with it, and I did actually like that they started off with the Primatech paper as a cornerstone to relaunch the series. So it was destroyed in the terrorist attack for the festival, and it turns out that it was not as destroyed as people thought it was, so there are still experiments and labs and things like that going on below the surface. It was actually pretty cool that we learned that one of the superpowered kids, the kid who can make people disappear, was actually held at this facility, and that's where he made people disappear. We learned in the, I think it was the second episode, that as long as he thinks about a place, that's where he's able to send people. So it's kind of the reverse power of Nightcrawler, so where he can make himself teleport to places, this kid can make other people teleport to places. There is also more on the story of superpowered humans trying to blend in after the attack or discovering what they can do. So it kind of follows a trend of season one of Heroes, where we have some of these changes going on, and the people figure out that there's something is up and they can do different things. So some are hiding themselves and others are still hiding but trying to figure out what's going on. So we're getting the first looks at that. I do like that they brought in Dr. Suresh as taking credit for the terrorist attack. I don't know if he's going to be in the series or not. I didn't actually look it up, but I'm kind of glad they're sort of tying in his storyline as far as what's going on. It was actually this storyline which led me to believe that he might be really, or the season is taking place between seasons 1 and 2, where he was actually on the run after, I think in the second and third seasons, where he had fallen out of favor with the public. But that's neither here nor there. So they're still bringing the feel of the original Heroes by bringing in new superpowered individuals who are trying to figure out what's going on with themselves. I actually kind of liked what they did with Noah Bennett as far as I thought at least that he lost his memory, but watching the series, it seems like his memory was taken away from him. And it was kind of along the line of Agent Coulson from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where we learned that and this is a spoiler alert, where he dies and he's brought back to life, and the memory of what happened to him was actually taken away. So he didn't, then he relearned what happened, but they hid his memories of what was done to him so he wouldn't ask too many questions. So we'll see how they go with it here, but I kind of like that Noah Bennett, as being the former central not necessarily a bad guy, but the guy with some answers, it has this problem where he doesn't remember what happened. They did add, when I'm kind of indifferent to this part, but they did have the traditional story of cops as agents trying to eliminate superpower humans. So I don't know if I really like it or dislike it. I thought it was an okay addition to the story, because it's, to me, it seems like it's done a little bit too much. It's a cop couple that's trying to find these superpowered individuals. I would have preferred it, or maybe had the more to their story as far as why they're doing it, or that they're getting instructions as secret agents, or more information about what their motives are. It just seemed like they were going after superpowered individuals because they have a grudge. Even if that's the case, I would have taken that, but it wasn't too clear on the with the show itself as far as what their motivations were. And finally, there is still a fine line between having seen the original series and starting fresh, mostly because Noah Bennett makes references to his daughter and losing her, but it really has no meaning if you have not seen the original series. So at least I would recommend watching the first season so you know what's going there. I would watch the entire series because I did actually like the full series of Heroes to begin with, but if you want that half of it to make sense or to have a little bit more perspective on the miniseries, it would help to watch the original Heroes. So it's more of a recommendation, but they are playing the fine line between the two, well, between the original series and this miniseries. But on its own, it holds up pretty much decently well, and it depends on where they go or how they present it going forward, but it is still definitely worth a watch. So I do highly recommend it if you're into sci-fi TV shows or superheroes or anything like that. Definitely take a watch. It is on NBC, and I think it's available for streaming online, but it is an NBC TV show, so definitely worth a watch. So with that, I will jump into the second TV review, which also has superpowered individuals, but the second review is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3, Episode 1, Laws of Nature. So basically, if you haven't seen the show by now, it would be useful to watch Seasons 1 and 2. I will also assume that you've seen the other Marvel movies, most notably the Avengers. I forget if they included stuff from the other Marvel movies, but having watched Avengers 1 and 2 should be mostly sufficient for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So Season 3, Episode 1 aired in the United States on September 29th, 2015. It had a runtime of about 42-43 minutes, your standard 1-hour TV show, and then less commercials. A summary of the episode, though, is that director Phil Coulson and agent Daisy Johnson are leading the charge as S.H.I.E.L.D. searches the world for more powered people in the aftermath of their epic battle with Jia Ying and her army of Inhumans. However, Coulson and the team soon find out that they are not the only group looking for these new Inhumans. So the key thing here is that for Season 3, it's going to deal mostly with the Inhumans. So at the end of Season 2, we had the Terrigenesis, so the mist that was spread into the ocean and the water supply. So we have those humans who are capable of becoming Inhumans are slowly making their transformation. So that's kind of where we're going from here. Basically, Agent May is not with... Basically, what you'll realize in this episode, that Agent May is not with S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore. She took a vacation and never came back. So we have Sky / Daisy taking a bigger role in being an agent. And we see her having come to terms with her powers. So that's kind of why she's in the field looking for these Inhumans to help others make that transition. So with that, I'll jump into a review. Nothing too special. Overall, I thought it was a pretty solid episode. Very enjoyable. Moved pretty well. I didn't have too much downtime. Or I didn't find that I had too much downtime. So overall, it was worth a while. I enjoyed it, basically, is my point. But a few things that I did like about it was that the new plane actually seems more like a S.H.I.E.L.D. vehicle with its helicarrier propellers. So when we see the first exterior shots of the new plane, I didn't see any photos or leaks or anything like that online. So I actually found it pretty cool. It was more in the veins of a S.H.I.E.L.D. vehicle, so it actually looked pretty cool. And it had the propellers like a helicarrier, so it seemed like it was more functional as far as not needing a runway or airport to land and take off. So it actually seemed pretty cool. And then we have the labs and all the interior functionality still available. So overall, I actually like the new design, and they make a note of it in the show with Agent Coulson being super excited about all the new stuff going on with the plane. And then the part that I found kind of funny was that they actually made note of the episode title in the episode twice. So it was a very important thing about the laws of nature as far as the inhumans and the natural progression of the human species. This is most notably related to how S.H.I.E.L.D. and the new organization who are taking it, the inhumans, are viewing the inhumans as not necessarily a threat, but something that's going to happen, and it has to be not necessarily contained, but the information has to be released in a natural progression and on a timely and a proper way so that it doesn't freak anyone out. Granted, it already kind of has, so it's kind of putting out fires at the moment and damage control and that kind of thing. But the new agency, I think it was a UTEC or something like that, basically they were a secret organization before, but with the attack in the hospital, which I'll get to in a bit, the president made them a legitimate public organization, and it showed off how much influence their leader had to Phil Coulson, mainly because the president used this exact same line that the lady used when she was talking to Phil in the subway. So it actually plays out very well. Overall, the episode rounds out nicely as far as I'm concerned. If there were any holes I didn't notice them, it was entertaining enough. But to round it out, Blanca's actual name is Lash, who is an inhuman born in Greenland looking for and judging other inhumans created from the Terra Genesis. So if you're unsure about the brand new villain, both Phil and the lady in the other organization think they're the ones killing inhumans, but as it turns out, neither one of them have been doing it. It's this new villain called, or not necessarily a villain, but new inhuman called Lash. So actually when I saw him, I think I saw the screenshot for him recently, but I was actually kind of curious at this point. I'm like, all right, who is this guy? What's going on with him? Why is he looking for inhumans? Or even why is he using that name? So I looked him up, and it turns out that he's part of a program in Greenland that is kind of like what Jia Jing was doing with her group of inhumans, where humans are handpicked to go through the process, and he was one of those people who went through the process of becoming an inhuman, and he went through it, and then as it turns out, because of the Terra Genesis, all these humans are going to be turning into inhumans, and he feels that he should be the one to judge if they are actually worthy of becoming or worthy of going through this change. So we'll see where they go with it. It actually seems kind of cool. He didn't have too many lines, but he did have enough action in the second half of the episode. So because of the destruction in the hospital, he's the reason why the competing organization to S.H.I.E.L.D. Became public to deal with the threat of the inhumans. So I actually can't wait to see where they go with him, if we see more of his backstory, or at least find out more of what's going on with him and see if his storyline goes on par with the comics. So overall, it is worth seeing. I know the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of had a slow start to it, but by the second half of season one, and then well in most of season two, it actually picks up very well, so definitely worth a shot. If you're into the Marvel universe, then this show definitely rounds out another aspect of it. So that's really all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into the Star Wars review, and we'll be done with this week's episode. So continuing with the theme of two, I was wondering what part of Star Wars would be a good fit, and Duel of the Fates actually now comes to mind, but I actually decided to go more classical with it, or traditional, and review the binary stars. So basically in the Star Wars universe, a binary star is any body that had two stars or suns revolving around it. Generally, if they were stable enough of stars, then life could be supported on the bodies that they are orbiting. So I'll get to more on that in a bit. But generally, the orbit consisted of a figure eight pattern. So it was a very unique and different pattern that the stars and any planets it held followed. So it kind of explained the environment and the temperament of the planets, but it's still, if stable enough, could support life. Also, because there were two stars or suns, it also, well, one would think that it would make the planets hotter or have insufficient atmosphere for life, but too hot to survive on. But this was actually not the case. It provided a unique atmosphere and environment, but it was not necessarily too hot for life to survive. The only issue there was that while that's a good thing, the offset is that there was now twice the chance of a supernova occurring. So if there were any issues or problems or attacks that could destabilize the sun or stars, then we would have a supernova. The one example, or there's actually two examples, but the well-known example in the Star Wars universe of a system with the binary stars is Tatooine. A unique bit of information here is that about 2 million years before the Battle of Yavin, Tatooine was actually a lush planet with basically forests and farmland and the whole nine yards. So it had a rich environment where anything could grow and support life and all of that. But the problem arose when the Kumunga species rose against the Rakata, the former leaders of the universe as of Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 1, which we hear about in that video game. They basically rose against the Rakata, and in retaliation for the uprising as slaves, the Rakata started an orbital bombardment, which actually destroyed the atmosphere and caused the soil to turn to sand, which converted soil, or because of this, Tatooine became a desert planet and into what we saw at the time of Star Wars Episode 4. So, or even Star Wars Episode 1 if you want to consider the prequels. But basically, things like that, when there's enough of an attack to destabilize the planet, now while it's not as far severe as a supernova, the orbital bombardment causes a significant enough change for a lush planet to become a desert. So it's kind of the hits and misses of what goes on with binary sun system. So definitely for me, it was a unique perspective on Tatooine's history, something I didn't know about as well, but something unique to the Star Wars universe. But that is actually all for this particular episode of Life of an Accounting Droid. So from next week, we'll be back to our regularly scheduled releases on Fridays. If all goes well, there will also be a special announcement next week. I haven't decided what I'm going to do with it yet, as I just started working on it, but I will bring it up next week if all works out. But in the meantime, if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com, and you can find me on Twitter at patelN01. You can get all the links on the website at patelN01.com. You can find this show or more shows on the Geek.io network at geek-io.net. If you want to share or check out the ebook for this particular episode, be sure to visit author.patelN01.com. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.